Enoch took the scroll on day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, so now I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys,
I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said,
I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys, I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home, he keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I will abide in the shadow of your mighty. I will lean on his everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured that in his shadow I am safe from harm. I will not lean to my own understanding. I will not trust a man's philosophy. When my world is wrecked by confusion, I'll run to the refuge on my knee. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting ark. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured that in his shadow I am safe from harm. He said he will be the light that lights my pathway. Time and time again he has proven true, an ever-present help in my troubled days. Exactly what he said, that's what he'll do. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on his everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages, assured that in his shadow I am safe from harm. He said he will be the light that lights my pathway. Time and time again he has proven true, an ever-present help in my troubled days. Exactly what he said, that's what he'll do. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on his everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages, assured in his shadow I am safe from harm. assured in his shed, I am safe from harm.
When the God of all comfort
speaks peace to my soul, rough seas are calm, the wind seems to roll. No matter how dark may be the night, everything will be alright when the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul. When the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul, rough seas are calm, the wind seems to roll. No matter how dark may be the night, everything will be alright when the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul. When the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul, rough seas are calm, the wind seems to roll. No matter how dark may be the night, everything will be alright when the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul. Yesterday we talked about
be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah, we talked about be fruitful and multiply. And but you see, that's what you have to do to reproduce, you know, if it's for some. But Paul said there's a better way. Jesus said the same thing to Martha. Martha, he put in a lot of effort, but it's all really in vain. Mary, she made a better choice. She decided what you did. She decided to see what the Lord had for her, you know. And then Paul comes along, and he says, "It's better to be single," because you can read it in 1 Corinthians. I've been over and over it again and again. And he was advising the young people. And he taught, he was living exactly where you're living right now. And he was here, he would tell the young people not to bother getting married because there's a better way. Mm-hmm. And if you're single and you're not missing out on nothing, because God taught the Bible, you can see there's better things than getting married. You know, it's not for everybody, like not everybody could do what you did. You know, you decided you're not going to get involved in that kind of a thing. You decided you want to see what Jesus had for you, and you made the right decision. And I that's what I was hoping that my girls would do, just give Jesus a chance. But apparently, it's not for them. You know, it's not for everybody.
No, it's not. It's like a calling that's on your life. Really, and not everybody has the same calling. And there are certain things, like I know for myself, that this is what God required from me. Now, if I would have just gone ahead and done my own thing, like you still have a choice, the freedom of choice, but I know that the blessings, that I would have missed out on God's blessings on my life and His perfect will.
Amen.
That was His perfect will for my life. Now, if I could go along and in a submissive will, then I would not have the full blessings of God.
And you wouldn't have that John speaking.
That's right. And He would have never opened up my understanding to His word.
Yeah, see, like I say, there's a better way. And then if you're single, you're not missing out. But you got to be dedicated. And like we say, it's not for everybody. But there's a lot of single girls in there. They're waiting for this, for the right guy to come along, and then they're so gullible they'll take anybody. But they have a purpose in their heart to, no, I'm not going down that path, no matter if Mr. Hanson comes along. I'm just dedicating myself to the Lord. See what the Lord has for me. Like, you know, the story about Yiftah, the daughter of Yiftah.
Mm-hmm.
She got, her dad made God a promise that he's going to sacrifice whatever comes out and meets him. And, like, he wanted to win that war, apparently. And he just made God a reckless promise, you know.
Yeah.
That he didn't have to make that promise.
Uh-huh, that whatever meets him first when he gets back home is gonna...
Yeah, he was hoping to be his dog because he had the love for his dog.
Uh-huh.
And then here comes his daughter out and, oh, and his heart sank. Now, he made God a promise and he told him, made God a promise. And to this day, it's been recognized. And she purposed, right? Well, Dad, if you make God a promise, you best keep it. And she stayed single for the rest of her life. She went out and she wept. And she knew that was not for her because God, her dad had made God a promise.
Yeah, and they still remember her to this day in Israel.
It's a sad thing. For Israel, they're mm-hmm. family people. Mm-hmm. They want to get married and have family and have children. And rightly so, but this Yiftah girl, it's a sad state. They, all the girls, they went out and they wept with her once a year. Because, you know, she chose to do that. She, mm-hmm. she kept her oath, or her dad kept his oath, and then he kind of carried it on. But see, throughout the scripture, there are things in the Bible that if you're single, you're not missing out on. You're really not missing out on nothing. You're better off single. And like I say, Paul, he was really, honestly, 1 Corinthians, he thought he's going to see the coming of the Lord. But then, see, that's the only revelation that God gave him, that he would go and tell the young people not to bother getting married and not stay single because there's going to be some very tough days. And he said, over and over, I spare you. I want you to have it easy in life. I don't want you to have unnecessary weights on your going through life. Because life is tough as it is,
that's
you know.
Right.
And then when you get married and then you have, the Bible says so. You can go read 1 Corinthians. Unless you know where it is, you can mm-hmm. read it. That's exactly what it says.
Uh-huh. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, I wish that everyone was as I am.
See, he was single.
But each has his own gift from God, one this way, another that. To the unmarried and widows I say that it is best for them to remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, let them get married. For it is better to marry than to burn with sexual desire. To the married I give this commandment, not I, but the Lord, a wife should not divorce a husband. But if she does, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, if a brother and a wife who is not a believer and she is happy to live with him, he should not divorce her.
But I'm saying, at one time Paul was married,
mm-hmm.
and just the same situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like me. If you're single, and like it's pretty much the same as the Hutterite colony. That Jewish thing is just as much of a cult as that Hutterite thing is. But in the Hutterite colony, you cannot be a preacher if you're single. So Paul, it was the same thing with him. He could not be in that Sanhedrin court if he was single.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened. Maybe it's the same situation that I went in. That when he got converted, that Sanhedrin council, they had a funeral for him. And he was completely cut off from his family or his wife. I don't know whether he's still alive. There's nothing written about it. But I could put you in the same category that I'm in. When I started speaking out against that corruption, that when I realized that thing, that other thing is not of God, Then, of course, then they did what they did with Paul. They had a funeral over me, and it's almost the same situation. Like I say, I could never be a preacher, and they called me. And if you're single, mm-hmm. then eventually they what they do when you're not for them, they eventually terminate you, and it's basically the same thing here. But see, the Lord added a different calling on my life. I was once married, and that cult, they came in and took everything away from me, like I've been saying over and over again. And it really wasn't them that were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the devil using them to do this very thing, because the devil, he hates opposition. And then all things work together for good,
mm-hmm.
to them that love the Lord and to them that are called. You got to be called for this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not called for this, you won't have enough energy to do it. You and I are doing it. Mm-hmm. You run out of gas. But see, that's the calling that God has on my life. He had me get married, and the day, like I said the other day, my last girl was born. Sam, it's over. The reproduction program is over for you. We got some work to do, and we're going on to bigger and better things. Mm-hmm. That's been my life, and I'm enjoying it. I got no regrets or nothing, because it's like I say, there's a better way,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. set a standard, and we're doing. We're the only boys in the wilderness that has anything that is of any value the day and hour that we're now living in. I listen to these YouTubers. The world is full of them, and they come out. Yesterday I listened to one guy, oh, there's going to be billions and billions of people that are coming to the Lord. They're going to get saved, and tremendous revival is coming up the road here. But I can't see no revival as it was in the days of Noah. There was no revival in the days of Noah. And there was no revival in the days of Lot. Now, am I going to drop the Bible and go and believe what they're saying? Like it says, they'll deceive the very elect if it be possible. And then they could talk so fluently and so convincingly. And they got the masses tickling their ears, and like, it's going to be that way. But see, when you face reality, it's not in God's...
No.
It's not in the program.
And that's why all of our lives, that's what God has been doing, is to bring us to the truth for our day and to ground us in the Word of God. Because when you listen to these people, and I know seducing spirits can be very seducing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're sent out, and they're sent out to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're not grounded, you can fall for anything.
Oh, wow.
And when you don't know that God sent the prophet, and he came with a message,
mm-hmm.
and that message was to turn us back to the Word of God, to the faith of the early church. And in that, you know the counsel of God. And with knowing the counsel of God, when you hear these deceiving spirits coming, that you're able to know and to combat them, that you know what? There is no revival coming in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The revival had its day. But now the only thing that God is looking at now is the restoration of Israel. The Gentile hour is over.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you have a revival? The only thing left for the Gentiles is God is sifting through the people, and he's looking for mortals that will go on into the millennium to be able to then have children to be fruitful and multiply mm-hmm. again. And that will be the commission going forward, because mm-hmm. it's always been be fruitful and multiply. God has a plan. And when the millennium sets in, people will have children and multiply, because that is the will of God. And when it, like back in, like you were saying yesterday in the garden, God said, be fruitful and multiply. And that meant replenish and have offsprings.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way after the flood, God said the same thing, be fruitful and multiply. Get the earth full of people again. And when the, after the day of the Lord, this is going to be the same thing again. God is going to put the commission out. Like, it goes out in the spirit world, and then people pick it up, be fruitful and multiply, just like in back in the day when the churches have rejected the prophet, and they have now evolved into things that are not good because they rejected the prophet and his message. So what the angel was sent out in heaven to tell people to get out of all these religious systems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's was the calling. That's how you pick it up in the spirit, because something in you starts to not be comfortable because you're sitting in a place that is deceiving you.
It's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's evolved into that. There was a time it was valuable, but now everything has evolved into synagogues of Satan, and we'd be trying to beat the drums here forever, and then they're telling people. But the only revival that when you have a reverence and a respect for the Word of God, and you talk about this revival, the only revival that's really coming is that sea of glass. It's that blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. That's the only revival that you can see in the scripture coming, because that sea of glass, apparently there's going to be millions and millions of people on that sea of glass that's going to have to give up their life. That's the only revival that I see coming. But these preachers out there, they're not going to tell them that.
No.
They're not going to tell them that. Mm-hmm. If you miss this here, the marriage supper of the Lamb, it evolves into blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. How do you die? Well, you don't have to give up your life to get onto that sea of glass. Those people on that sea of glass, they had to be persecuted. They had to give up their life to become immortal. Everything on that sea of glass is immortal, but they have to die for immortality. Right now, you don't have to die to become immortal. Now all you got to do is to believe the message for your day, like it's always been. It has always been when I take your so you got to step back and you kind of like put everything in the database, so to speak, and the computer, and then let it figure itself out. When you go into your put it all, go into biblical history and put it all together, and what do you come up with? The message for your day. It's always been like that. The days of Noah, and the days go back all the way back to Cain and Abel. Abel felt something in the spirit. What was it? What's the message for his day? You're going to have to bring a sacrifice. That was everywhere, right after the flood. Noah felt the need to bring the Lord a sacrifice. All throughout the Old Testament, it's that sacrifice. And just the way it is back then, it was like that. But it was the message for your day. Then you come to Noah, the message for his day was Noah, build a flood, or build an ark, and then save yourself from the flood that's coming. And here's the same thing. Believe the message for your day. Just simply believe what we are saying here for the last 30 years. And what's going to happen somehow, I don't know how God does it. I don't have to know. But I know it's in the Bible that if you take that invitation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, come whosoever will, let him come and drink out of the water of life freely. You will be at that marriage supper. It's just that simple. It's always been that way. Even Abraham, back in the day when God told him to go out to a land where he's going to show up. And then when he was obedient, only after he was obedient, then the Lord came to him and his great reward was because Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's the only righteousness that you and I could ever muster together. When we heard about the prophet, we believed it. And that was the righteousness that God required. Just believe what God did. He sent the prophet and the ladies in church age, and then we believed that word. And then he sent Raymond M. Jackson to continue on from the vocal cord. They were just ordinary people. But they had a book, that angel had a vocal cord. He trained him, he brought him up, he predestinated him, and here when Brother Brennan goes off the scene, he took the vocal cord to Brother Jackson, just that simple. And now when Brother Jackson goes off the scene, he's continuing on because he does things and treat. And he's using you and I to finish that program, and then once we're done, that rapture will happen. Just that simple, because it's Laodicea, you know, Laodicea, that's what God requires, that invitation to the marriage supper of Lamb, to help mankind get out of this, the day of the Lord, this tribulation that's coming. It's just looming on the horizon. You can see the enemy, all these immigrants and all these terrorists around the world. It's just the Lord. They're just the Lord's army. He sends them in because people have rejected, just like he did with the children of Israel when they kept rejecting and rejecting the blessings of the Lord, and they went out and worshipped these idols and these gods, and then God brought in the Assyrians to chastise them.
Yeah, it's like everything. Like when you don't walk in the ways of God, God raises up an adversary, mm-hmm. just like he did with King Solomon. When King Solomon started to stray in his ways, with starting to worship these foreign gods of his all his wives that he had, then God started raising up adversaries to kind of because he was stepping outside the will of God. And that's like anything, like the Israelites throughout the ages, when they strayed from God, he rose up the Philistines or whatever the adversary was, the Moabites. And you can read it that's how it is. Like, if you walk in the will of God, God can bless you. And like we were saying, like when you pick it up, what God requires of this age, like Paul taught that they were living in our hour. Mm-hmm. So he said to them, to the young children, I'll read it here a little just to let you know that he didn't say it's from the Lord, but he wanted people to have
it kept over and over. I spare mm-hmm. you. Care about people. Uh-huh.
So with regards to the question about people who have never married, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one shown mercy by the Lord to be trustworthy. Because of the impending crisis, I think it best for you to remain as I am, remain as you are. That means like to remain single. The one bound to have a wife should not seek a divorce. The one released from a wife should not seek marriage. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face difficult circumstances. And I am trying to spare you such problems. Then he goes on to say, and I want you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord. Now, how to please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the things of the world, how to please his wife. And he is divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, to be holy both in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place a limitation on you, but so that without distraction you may give notable and constant service to the Lord. So that's what Paul was looking at, that people would have committed their ways and their life to the Lord, that they could do what is pleasing to the Lord, and to spare them from all the heartaches that people face in this day and age. But like he said, he did not get it from the Lord. But one that has found favor with the Lord, he has experienced it himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's talking from experience. He's not putting something on a person that he has not walked himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants people to have that same freedom and the liberty to serve Jesus. And that's basically what I felt that the Lord wants me to do in my life.
Yeah. And for me, like, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I never even as much as thought about getting married and, like, divorce. I don't believe in divorce because the Bible say God hates divorce. And I've had people in church saying, why don't you just divorce your wife and get married again? I said, I don't believe in divorce. It's just not something that I see in the scripture that about divorce. If you want a divorce, you can't remarry. The way I see the scriptures, for me, you know, when God requires for me to live as an example, like I say, I'm between a rock and a hard place, that marriage, remarriage for me, it's not even a thought, you know, it's never even crossed my mind that I could get married. Mm-hmm. As long as your wife is still alive, you cannot get married. That's what the Bible says. And you and I, we live by the Bible. I cannot go back and tear that scripture out and then go through life pretending to be a Christian, you know? It's just a phony thing. It's just not real. Like I say, this lady came saying, why don't you just get a divorce? Well, and then what? Well, God hates divorce. That's why I don't. And I have no reason to divorce because the church separated me. That hunter I called did that. And then what the Lord was called us to do is to expose that thing. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, we couldn't expose them.
That's how evil
and how wicked and how diabolic that system is. To this day, we're trying to expose it, but people don't believe us. We've been speaking forever and a day. That thing is not of God. It's of the devil. The devil has infiltrated that whole thing, and we're just exposing it.
There's always people that the devil will use to try to intimidate you. Like, why don't you get a divorce? Or, why don't you get married? Mm-hmm. And there are people that the devil has influenced to try to intimidate you.
Like the very people that were after you every time they saw you. You're looking for a husband, like it was up to you, you know.
So you'll always face these kinds of obstacles. But if you're grounded in the Word of God and in reality, then, you know, these things will not shake you.
Exactly. That's why we keep repeating it.
Mm-hmm. Then you can't be intimidated and shaken, because you know that God has a better way. And then you know the scripture, how God looks at divorce. And these things are there to ground us in the Word of God so that we can't easily be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go on your life having the joy of the Lord, because the devil, more than anything, wants to take away your joy.
Amen.
Your joy in the Lord. And that's his main thing. And when he can steal that from you, then you go down the road being miserable. And every wind and doctrine that comes your way shakes you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have no stability. But when you have that stability, you can listen to these YouTubers that are claiming there's a big revival coming. You know, the only revival I see in America is George Washington's vision.
Yeah.
And a cleanup coming. And then
Civil war.
That's why it says in that these deceiving spirits and the deception in this age will be so great that it would deceive even the elect if possible.
Yeah.
See, it's not possible when you're grounded in the Word of God, and these things can't shake you. I don't see no revival in the scripture.
No.
I don't see no World War III in the scripture.
No.
I see Ezekiel war. I see the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes and all this evil is dealt with. So these things, when you have the Word of God and you see things in the scripture, then people can come along with their ideas that they pick up from these deceiving spirits to try to deceive people.
Amen. Peter, back in the day, you go back, Peter, he was the one that God called to be that solid rock, you know? Then he's had some very valuable things back in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And he said, at one time he said, I know you heard it before, but we're repeating it and we're repeating it until it has been established in your heart, that whenever something does come along, you're so established, your roots are down so deep, that no matter which wind of doctrine comes along, you're solid, you're established, like you and I. We're established in the Word of God. And that's what we've done over the course of our life, to establish ourselves, and then we come into the message to Brother Brennan, and then what we did, we established ourselves on the present truth. Nobody can take away from us baptism in Jesus' name at that time. Nobody can take away from us that God sent the prophet, mm-hmm. because we have been established in the present truth. The first thing that happened when I came back, when I found out about Brother Branham, the first thing he did, the devil did, he made sure my wife gets a book about the anti-Brother Branham. You know, there's lots of books out there, anti-Brother Branham, anti-Brother Jack, and the devil made sure my wife gets that book. Well, she believed that book, and there's nothing that I could say or do to convince her otherwise. Mm-hmm. She was not established in the present truth. Well, I was established in the fact God did send a prophet. That's we are. That's still our song and dance to this very day. Mm-hmm. That's our stability because we've been established in it. You know, we've been established in the present truth. And there's a lot of things we say. We keep repeating it because we know the statements people make. We know they're not established. Mm-hmm. They tap in for a day, and then for weeks they don't check in anymore. They're not established in the present truth. If you would be established in the present truth, you couldn't wait till you hear the next sequence. It's like, almost like, you just say it, something like a soap opera, what we're doing here. It's the way the Lord is dealing with us, that He gives us certain things to talk about on a day-to-day basis. If you just talk about the marriage part, there'd be a lot of single girls that would be very discouraged because they're not married. So the Lord this morning, He began to deal with me. There is a better way. It's all right to get married. It's not against a godly principle. But there is a better way. And that's what we're trying to say today. Reach out for that better way. Mm-hmm. The proof is in the pudding.
That's right.
You made a better choice. Yeah. And look at all the little headaches you got. You don't have to worry about a baby carriage and the different things that you have to be involved with when you have children. Let the people out there be fruitful and multiply. But God respects that when you say, Lord, I want to see what you have for me. He will make sure that you have joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know, and that's the way it's been with you and I. We got joy unspeakable, full of glory. There's no people that are more blessed from the Lord than you and I are. Sure, we got intimidation and persecution from the outside. Really, usually just from the people we come out of. They're about the worst, you know. The people that you just come out of, like the Trojans, you know. And and a lot of these people that terrorize you and persecute you. The little group that we came out of, we're just trying to expose that spiritual what it is. And of course they'll persecute us. It's always been that way. You just kind of take it as standard procedure. Like Peter said, don't get the strange thing when these fiery trials come against you. Because they're just normal. It's just standard procedure. It's just something that comes with the turf, so to speak.
Like Paul, there was nobody that was more persecuted than Paul. Like he was beaten, he was chased out from cities because of preaching the gospel. They were just hounding him down everywhere he went. They chased him out of this one town, he had to go because they were just so angry, these people. And that's what the truth does to people. It makes people angry.
Oh, man, it makes them hate you.
Uh-huh. And that's why you can look at the life of Paul and see how he could just infuriate the Jews because he wanted them to have the very best that God had for them. Mm-hmm. And he had the new covenant, wanted so much he would even have given up his own life so that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, would have this glorious thing that was offered at Calvary. But they rejected it. And they did not like Paul, the Jewish people. They sought every which way to kill him. The worldly law, the Roman law, did him much more to help him escape than the Jews did. They sought every which way to kill him. But by the grace of God, the Romans were in charge, so they had to follow the Roman law. And by God's grace, he was able to come to Rome and preach the gospel there.
When you step back and you analyze, Paul was his own worst enemy. He was called of God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He was not called to be an apostle to the Jews. And every time he got involved with the Jews, he got himself to a lot of trouble. If he would have taken the word of God serious and not get involved with the Jews, let Peter do the Jewish thing. Because every time he gets involved with the Jews, he gets himself into trouble so much they stoned him and they were going to kill him and time again. Making an effort to stay away from these people. Mm-hmm. Because you're not sent to them. If God didn't send you to them, we would have a different story about Paul if he would have kept away from going into Jerusalem and things of that nature. But see, we learn from the mistakes he made. We don't go places where we get ourselves into trouble. We don't go out of our way to go places where the Lord does not send us. Mm-hmm. We try to veer away from dangerous places. We could get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We could go these other rights and do whatever needs to be done, but if the Lord doesn't send us there, we're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. When the time is right, we might, but until that time comes, there's nothing you can do.
There's like Paul, he was warned many times not to go to Jerusalem by the Holy Spirit, and he just went there.
Anyway,
so that's how it works. If you follow the perfect will of God, then he always has an open path for you to journey through, and he provides safety in it. So that's the difference. It's like, why would we go and debate with people and just debate over the word of God? It never proves anything. Mm-hmm. But if God opens up a door to go talk to somebody, then the Lord has prepared that encounter. So it can be a blessing. Otherwise, you're fighting with people just like Paul was fighting with the Jews all the time.
Yeah, see, these things are written for us, so that where they messed it up, like there's so many things in the Bible that you can read where people get themselves into a lot of trouble. But see, these things have been written that we can prevent ourselves from a lot of harm. Don't go there where people don't want you, where they oppose you. It's still, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And if it becomes a conflict, and well, mm-hmm. just stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Let people make up their own decision, their own mind.
Yeah, that's why you can read in Romans that when people don't hold on to the doctrine that you have been taught, it says to withdraw.
Yeah.
He doesn't say there to start debating and causing a big argument and these things. He says to withdraw.
We've had experiences where the Lord moved on hearts of people that would come here. And we had a glorious time for 2-3 days, and the Lord set it up that way. And there's a time or two where the Lord would send us to go talk to a certain person, and it's a heavenly thing. Like when He sent us down up, when we went up on the Ridge Road there, and I saw some of my old acquaintance. It was a glorious time, we had in the Lord. We didn't preach, and we just had just a nice conversation over coffee, so to speak, and talking about old times. It was a glorious encounter, But if you go barging in there where you're not welcome, well, or when they lock us out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm just trying to say that there's a better way. Don't be depressed if you're single. Just go to the Lord on your knees and pray to God that He'll make life worthwhile. Just like He did with you. And there does John speak, but full of glory. If you're single, well, God has something for you. And getting married, it's not the end all, we're all. But there again, like if you're called for it, fine. If not, well, we'd be called for this job, and we're not even thinking about it. It's never even entered a thought in my mind that I should get remarried and all that stuff. It hasn't even come close to being a thought, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
That's why when you grounded in the Word of God, and you see the will of God, and you don't go against it and think you can defy it. Mm-hmm. You just yield to the Word of God, and then God can bless your life.
Amen to that. I was thinking about Clint Eastwood. Everybody knows Clint Eastwood. He gets up 5 o'clock in the morning and does heavy weightlifting and heavy exercises. And I was thinking, you know, if he would get up 5 o'clock in the morning and do what we're doing, spend time with the Lord, that would be a lot more beneficial than getting up just to keep himself in shape. How about the spiritual aspect of it? And, all he's doing is, I guess he's trying to run away from the Grim Reaper and keep himself in shape, which is a good thing. But he looks like he's 200 years old already. But he keeps himself alive just by doing exercises. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say? He would do better if he would exercise himself and spiritual things. Like even Paul mentioned that. It's good to be physical shape, but it's a lot more important to exercise yourself and heavenly things. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another day of life, Lord, for the many things you do for us, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to come and sit with you in heavenly place. I just pray that what's been said, that it'll be a benefit to somebody that might want to someday listen to it, Lord, and just pray you'll continue to use us for your honor, for your glory, Lord. Do with us as you see fit. Most of all, Lord, I pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.